Hey, Tom DeWolfe is a writer on a personal journey to discover his ancestors' slaveholding past. And Sharon Morgan, why, she's a genealogist and writer who is a descendant of slaves.
Together, they've written a book called Gather at the Table, The Healing Journey of a Daughter of Slavery and the Son of a Slave Trade. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Great to have you both here.
I feel like you guys are friends.
Good.
Yes. Hey, so Tom, and I got a question for both of you. So how did you come to write this book together?
Well, you quoted one of the lines out of the book about the truth will set you free, but first it's going to make you mad.
I am so sorry, Tom.
You know, we started this project because we both found this group called Coming to the Table.
Sure.
That's in headquartered at Eastern Mennonite University in the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding there in Virginia. And it brings together people who are descended from the enslaved as well as people descended from the enslavers to acknowledge the long history of abuse through slavery and racism and recognizing it as a traumatic wound that's never been healed and working on a model of healing that deep wound. And what Sharon and I made a commitment to do is to do our best to live that model as two people in walking through this life. And we began that about 3.5 years ago, and our experiences resulted in writing this book together.
Wow, that's great.
And Sharon, this has to be for you very difficult at times. The natural human response is to avoid anything that's difficult. How did you overcome wanting to go on this journey the way that it was set up?
Because I'm a genealogist,
yeah.
I've been experiencing the difficulty for the last 30 years. It's like every discovery that I make in my family's history has been something that's painful and difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what took me to EMU and got me involved with Coming to the Table. Having made the commitment to change my life and how I felt about things was at the root of why I got on this journey with Tom. And it could have easily not worked out, and we had some very stressful moments along the way.
Yeah.
But in the end, I think the big point is that once you confront it, once you confront the pain, once you acknowledge the history, that it has a healing impact all by itself. That you, it's not like you do something, it's like you just get on the journey, and your spirit finds ways to heal.
Yeah, that's good. So, I mean, and also, you know, you, the two of you are running towards a conversation that most people are running away from. And what would your message or what would your encouragement be to those folks that say, I don't get it, I don't understand it, I'm not a genealogist, I'm not a writer, why should I even think about this stuff?
Because if we don't deal with it, we're never going to solve the race problem. You have to learn from history.
Yes.
You have to go back in the past. You have to see, look at the founding principles of the country. You have to look at how the economic base was built. And you have to look at how racism was structured and supported and encouraged.
Yes.
In order to have an underclass of people that could build the economy. And so that's hard to look at, but it's true. And it's a truism to say that the truth will set you free.
Mm, yeah.
Tom, you know, and the other part of this, too, I think, is that I don't necessarily agree that everybody's running away from this conversation. I think a lot of people are hungry for this conversation, but don't know what to do.
That's a good point.
What Sharon and I have witnessed over the past 2 months as we've been on the road visiting churches and schools and museums, you know, all up and down the East Coast and now in the Midwest. I mean, just Saturday here where we are in Chicago right now, it completely filled a room of 120 people, and they had to turn people away.
Mm.
And what we're finding, and, you know, speaking as a white man,
sure,
there's a lot of white people that will express something along these lines that, man, it's like it gives me permission to talk about a really difficult subject.
Yes.
To see other white people talking about this and expressing a model in which it can actually work, in which it's not designed to make people feel guilty or ashamed or fearful, but it's designed to work on healing.
Tom, in that context, you said on one of the interviews that I'm listening to you guys as you go across the country. Rick is listening. Just remember that. Whenever you say something, I'm listening, taking notes as well. But here's what you said, Tom, and this was a very intriguing quote. I'd never heard anything like this. Guilt is the glue that holds racism together.
Mm.
Yeah.
Unpack that for us.
I'm a white man. This conversation in certain ways, you can hear our clock in the background.
Yes. I thought it was Big Ben.
It is. We're in England now. In many ways, the way I'm raised as a white person is to feel guilty about stuff that my ancestors did to cause oppression to others, mm-hmm. or to rebel against that guilt and mm-hmm. rebel against that shame. It wasn't me. It wasn't, you know. And by making me feel guilty, my natural inclination is to build walls mm-hmm. to protect myself.
Yes.
And doing that keeps everyone and everything out.
You are so, right.
So that guilt is, in fact, reinforcing the separation. It's the glue that holds racism together.
Yep. Wow.
And it keeps us all silent, doesn't it? It keeps it quiet.
It's either silence or finding ways to rationalize the way that I believe and the way that I live my life.
Sure. Wow.
Sharon, you said something as well on this same interview. You said that you have said things to Tom that you have never said to another white person. A lot of folks don't understand, a lot of white people don't understand how hard it is for African Americans just to talk to white people.
We talk about race a lot.
Yeah.
Amongst ourselves. So I think that the bigger conversation that has to go on is white people talking to each other and then us finding a way to talk between black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. But when we started, we were committed to being honest about everything. So there were feelings that I have that I might have expressed to my friends and my family. But no, I haven't ever said it to white people because, I mean, you risk threat of death when you say certain things to them.
Hmm.
So when we're on the road and we're seeing these historic places,
yes,
and these bloody sites of where horrible things happened, I would well up with emotion, and it's like, and I'm very angry with white people. And I, you know, I don't understand how people did this. I don't understand how they could form their brain to walk totally away from their moral conscience and treat other people with such great disregard. And, you know, there were a couple of explosions where it's like, I feel very violent and very angry and I don't like you. But because of the journey that we're on and because the point is reconciliation, you may have that explosion of emotion and then it's like, okay, now we can talk, now that I got that off my chest. And we were able to do that. So, you know, now we're friends, and now it's, you know, it's not the same way. But remember that when we began, we didn't really know each other that well.
Yeah.
And we're in a car, and we're driving thousands of miles together, and you can't help but talk to the person.
That's right.
And
that's
I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, the whole point is telling the truth. This is how I feel at this moment.
That's right.
As I'm standing on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, mm-hmm. I am angry.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I think part of this journey for white people is learning to find ways to be in a space with that kind of anger.
Yes.
And not take it personally.
Yeah.
Yes.
But to learn to be in that space and learn to work with the anger and with the person.
Yes.
You know, and go back a little bit on this too, you know, Sharon and Tom, and that is you actually started this with a road trip focusing on historical sites related to slavery and civil rights. Okay, why did you begin the process that way?
Well, that's not actually accurate. That was more in the middle.
Yeah, okay, got it. Okay.
We began with meetings with our families is where we began.
Aha. Uh-huh. So why did you do that?
In order to really know a person, you have to know the people that are around them.
Ah.
And it's important because we don't have, in many instances of interracial friendships, you don't go and visit other people's families. You may know a white person at work.
Sure.
Yeah,
or
sure.
You may know a black person from seeing them at the grocery store, but you don't really develop a relationship.
Yep.
So in order to really get into who a person is, you need to know their family and where they came from.
Very true.
And to see how they're relating to this issue of race.
Mm.
And just to engage people on a deeper level than just a superficial, you know, hi, how you doing?
You know, even with all of our friends and colleagues that coming to the table, it's not very many that we even know their significant others, let alone their children.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sharon knows my wife really well.
Mm-hmm.
And we know each other's children and grandchildren, and we've played with each other's families. And it makes a big difference. It helps you understand where they come from.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, yesterday Sharon and I went to church with her aunt and uncle here in outside of Chicago, and then spent the entire afternoon with her. There must have been 25 people here.
That's great.
And playing games with each other, playing card games, playing dice games, sharing meals. It really helps me to understand Sharon at her core.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you hope to accomplish with this book?
The goal that I have is that I set out to make a transformation for myself personally, and because the result was positive, here is something that we can share with the world. I don't think that you can really change another person, but you can inspire them to want to change themselves.
Yes, sure.
And you can inspire them to take action to make this society a better place. And if only one person reads this book and comes away and says, wow, I'm going to do something because we live in a society that is unfair, that is unjust, and we need to fix it, and I'm going to do one thing to fix it. If I get that one person, I would be happy.
Yeah,
that's good.
Same question, Tom.
I'm with Sharon. I mean, it's not a huge goal. It's just we want to change the world.
I love it. There you go.
We want this to be a better culture and society for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren when they come along.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we see this as a model that will work with wide varieties of individuals, of communities, whether it's a faith community or an educational institution, a corporation, a social justice group, it's a model that really does work. It has application for anyone.
Yes.
And so we're excited to be coming to Grand Rapids
to
share this
That's great.
Message. I mean, people can learn a lot more just, you know, in advance of when we're in Grand Rapids next week is going to our website at gatheratthetable.net. A lot of information there. But you can fill them in on...
Absolutely. Tom, you did a beautiful job of setting us up.
Yes.
We need to have you as a producer more often. But I know you don't need any other jobs, do you, at this point in your life? I'm happy to announce that, first of all, Gather at the Table, Healing Journey of a Daughter of Slavery and Son of Slave Trade is available wherever books are sold and online as well. Tom DeWolf and Sharon Morgan will appear in Grand Rapids. This meeting is open to the public, I'm about to tell you, on Wednesday, November 14th, 7 p.m. at the DeVos Lobby next to the Prince Conference Center. That is at Calvin College.
Yeah.
We will...
Admission's free, open to the public.
Admission is free and open to the public. And these are two people that you have to get in touch with to understand what we can do to, you know, as Sharon put it, we're not going to solve this problem unless we all work on it.
That's exactly right.
If
together.
We can't avoid it. The more you avoid it, the worse it gets. So
this is great.
Thank you both. I'm so looking forward to meeting you in person. I feel like you're friends because you've both been on the show before, and we've had a number of conversations for a lot of different reasons. But I'm so glad you're coming. Can't wait to get you here.
We are, too. We're really looking forward to it.
That's great. Well, thanks again for being on the show, both of you. And we just welcome you to Grand Rapids. Can't wait for it.